The show is called Live and Local. It's your performance connection, and there's going to be lots of performances of jazz at the Iron Post in Urbana. This weekend is their second annual jazz festival that opened up last night, and there's various performers there tonight and then on Saturday as well, including our three guests for today's show, trombonist Morgan Powell, trumpeter Ray Sasaki, and sax player Howie Smith. They are half of the sextet, the jazz sextet, the Champagne Connection, who are materializing for this event. They'll be playing for 3 hours on Saturday, preceded by some folks and followed by some other folks. And we'll play some of their performances over the years and see where the conversation takes us. Hope you'll stay tuned. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
Listening to a group that calls itself simply Jazz Sextet, the Champagne Connection. They are going to be playing at the Iron Post in Urbana on Saturday from 6 to 9. It's part of the second annual Jazz Festival at the Iron Post, which started up last night and will continue through Saturday. Lots of different groups that we'll mention a little later. But we've got three members of the Sextet with us, all of whom you heard solo in that tune, which continues for about as much time as we've just heard. We heard, I think, in order, trumpeter Ray Sasaki, and then sax player Howie Smith, and trombonist Morgan Powell. They're all here with us, and we'll let them say hello. Say hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hey. Yeah, nice to be here, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks for coming
Appreciate
in.
Appreciate you asking us.
Yeah, well, we've worked on it for a while, and finally it's working out. Who were the other folks that were in the sextet at that performance, which was live at the Iron Post?
That was Chip Stevens on piano.
Who will be with you on Saturday.
That's right. Also Kelly Sill, who all of these will be with us Saturday. And Joel Spencer.
And Kelly Sill, bass player.
That's correct. And Joel's a drummer. And Chip, we all know, is a pianist who lives here and teaches at the U of I.
Yeah, and so is this seems to be a fairly frequent reunion that happens now and then.
Well, we do it as frequently as possible, but it's difficult because Ray lives in Texas, teaches at the University of Texas in Austin, and has been down there for, 10 years or so?
10 years, yeah.
And Howie is from Cleveland. He teaches at Cleveland State, although only part-time now because he's retired. And then the Kelly and Joel, of course, are from the Chicago area. So it's difficult to get everyone together at a time when they're not working or... And we do it for pleasure, and we're all very happy to be able to get together when we can. So it's usually a call, say, Ray, you coming up? You want to come up for this? Howie, you want to come up? It's hard to put together, but yes, we get together maybe three times a year, and we're happy that we can.
One of these times, if you happen to do it on a weekday and can work it out, it'd be just splendid to have everybody here soon enough so that we could have a little live session right in our own studio. But that's even trickier to work out.
It is trickier to work out. It's usually a last-minute thing, with everyone coming down and playing the gig and then returning for something in Chicago.
Which means that rehearsal is not a big deal.
Rehearsal is non-existent.
No deal.
Yeah. I know that Ray, of course, was teaching at the University of Illinois for quite a long time. How long were you on faculty here, Ray?
26 years.
That is quite a long time. And I guess we won't discuss why you decided to abandon us all, but, you know, you did, and that's fine for Texas, and not so hot for Champaign-Urbana. But so you've got the roots here. Morgan, you've taught, retired from the university as well, in composition department. And Howie, have you had any connections?
I was back here to do grad work in the late 60s, and then hung around for a few years. So that's how I got to know Morgan. And actually, I think I left before Ray got here.
Hmm.
I was here for about 7 years altogether.
And what about, Chip Stevens, of course, is on faculty now, but what's
and Chip the other Stevens two guys? Is from, I mean, I'm in Cleveland, and Chip did his undergraduate work at Akron University, and then he did his graduate work with me at Cleveland State, and now he's on the faculty here.
So you're one of the elder statesmen of this crew.
Yes.
if they're among your students.
Morgan is the eldest of the elders, I believe.
Thanks, Alec.
You got to get your digs in where you can, right? And what about Kelly and Joel? Do they have any kind of roots here or connection to, it's called the Champaign Connection. I assume they do.
Yes, they both went to school here as undergraduates and perhaps graduates. I'm not sure. That was, when was that?
Probably late 60s, early 70s, Joel was here when I was here.
Uh-huh.
And so was Kelly at the end.
Yeah, they were here together. And from here they went to Chicago and have been very successful up there. They're the first call jazz players when someone comes in and needs a rhythm section. They're just excellent players. And we've all been friends for all this time. And so the connection is Illinois, Champaign.
And Urbana, of course.
And Urbana, of course.
you don't want to leave that out. Any particular pot shots you want to take at these other guys since they're not here?
Why aren't they here?
Well, yeah, they have to drive. Well, what about Chip, though? I don't know what his excuse is, unless he's out of town somewhere.
We heard you only had three microphones, so we didn't ask Chip.
We have like two and a half here. Yeah, because we keep passing the other one around. If you hear microphone sound, that is the reason for it. What was the tune we heard at the outset, by the way?
That was Midtown Blues. It was written by alto saxophonist Jackie McLean.
And obviously extended by solos from everybody, mm-hmm. I guess. I assume we heard the three of you guys, and then we just started to hear a little bit from Chip Stevens. We've got something else that, and that was recorded at the Iron Post not all that long ago, and as Morgan told me in advance, with a small recorder set in a table somewhere, and I thought it captured the live scene very well. This next one, you did a recording session at the Krannert Center on stage.
It was one of the times when we did an Iron Post gig on a Saturday, and I think then Sunday we went into Krannert and record. We just played, no tunes, just went in and played.
So the normal thing.
Right.
Oh, no tunes.
No tunes.
I was thinking no rehearsal, but no tunes.
Well, no tunes for this one.
What does that mean?
You play music that hasn't been written yet, which is that's a line Ron DeWar used one time that I loved. It's just improvised music. You start and you listen to what's going on and try to fit in and make something happen.
How do you start?
No one says anything. We're just sitting there, and the recording engineer says, take one, and someone starts. We don't know who, and or maybe we start together, And it goes from there. And no one's looking at each other anytime through the thing. We just use our ears and we make a shape of a piece, and when we think it should be over, it's over.
And it's sort of like a group conversation. I mean, you're listening and talking all at the same time.
Sort of like what we're doing right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Except we're being reasonably polite and not talking over each other too much.
True.
That doesn't happen in this session we're about to hear.
I think one of the things about really good improvisation sessions is that any good conversation, you have to be a good listener. And in a group improvisation, you have to be listening to everybody and then responding at the same time. And the best ones are where you don't plan something you're going to say and just wait for your chance to jump in. You listen and respond, except there are all these things going on at the same time.
Let's give it. So did you give it a name afterwards, or it's just
no.
It is what it is? That's a name right
that
there.
That could be a good title.
Yeah, I kind of liked it, yeah. Well, it is what it is, so here it is. from Jazz Sex, the Sextet, the Champagne Connection. They're going to be at the Iron Post tomorrow night in Urbana.
Thank you.
Well, it was what it was. That was music not even written by anybody. It was created on the spot by all three of our guests here with some additional performers. We had trumpeter Ray Sasaki and trombonist Morgan Powell and sax player. Do you say saxist? I mean, we're saying trombonist.
Saxophonist.
There we go.
Unless you're you do all the classical stuff, then they call them saxophonists.
Oh. I'll have to.
Or some of us do.
I'll have to keep that in mind. saxophonist, yeah. Howie Smith. And who else was on there? You didn't have the rest of the guys who are going to be here on Saturday.
Chip Stevens was on it.
Okay, piano.
Yes, and he will be here Saturday, of course. And Gary Payton on drums. Actually, it's a little extended percussion setup, but it's basically just a jazz set.
And Gary is still around and performs frequently.
Gary is. He plays with a group that I have called the Boneyard Jazz Quintet. We play every last Friday at the Iron Post. And the bassist was Armand Baudouin, who is on the faculty here in engineering and also plays with the Boneyard Jazz Quintet.
And also plays cello.
That's right, quite an accomplished cello. He and Dorothy Martirano play around town quite a lot.
Yeah, in fact, did I see they're going to be playing somewhere either this weekend or next? I have to see if they made it on my calendar yet.
I believe it's the next weekend. Dorothy's in Peru at the moment, I believe.
Well, then she won't be playing here this weekend in that case. Well, we'll mention that in next week's calendar. And by the way, you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. And we are talking with these guys about jazz and about their connections to each other, but their jazz sextet, the Champagne Connection, will be at the Iron Post tomorrow night from 6 to 9. Chip Stevens, we mentioned, is on the recording you just heard, and then also bassist Kelly Sill and drummer Joel Spencer will all come around. And the Iron Post Jazz Festival, of which that is a part, started last night and continues tonight, and we'll mention some of those other performers as well, and then some other folks surrounding the Jazz Sextet on Saturday with their performances. Support for our show here on Live and Local today comes in part from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. I was looking over Howie Smith's bio here, and Howie discovered that you're from my area of the world in South Central Pennsylvania. I guess that's a little more easter. My mom was born in Nescopeck, Pennsylvania. Do you know where that is?
No, don't know that.
I don't either. I've been there. But it's somewhere around Pennsylvania Dutch country. My dad was born in Spangler, Illinois, but that's another one. Yeah. I've actually never been there. These are dinky, dinky towns. And my grandparents, for all my life, lived in Sinking Spring, Pennsylvania, which is right outside Reading, which is where you're from.
Right. I was born in Pottsville, grew up in Reading, and my mother's still there. Just was out to see her last week, and it was unbelievably hot.
Yeah, well, you came right back here, and now you're here, and what we can say the same thing, although you're getting into the cool season here, as we're going to be in the 70s tomorrow. Did you come by your musical abilities honestly, or did you manufacture them?
I'm not sure.
And do I need to interpret that question?
No, the story is my father wanted to play saxophone, never really got the chance at it, and he thought that I should have opportunities that he didn't. When I was 5 years old, they took me into a music store and didn't point out a saxophone, had all these instruments in a case behind a counter, asked me what I wanted. And the shiniest thing there, only had three little buttons on it, was a trumpet. But it was one of those stores where they have the music studios and they teach lessons, and the trumpet teacher was out to lunch. And the saxophone teacher was just coming back. Salesman called him over. They had a conversation, and I was too small for an alto sax. And then they tried a clarinet, and I was too small for that. So then they brought out this little curved B-flat soprano, and about a half-hour lesson I had. Half-hour later, I had my first saxophone lesson.
And your first saxophone.
Yeah. So that's how I chose the saxophone. It chose me.
Well, and your dad was vindicated in some way.
Yes.
You know, you were confirmed as his son because you were able to somehow subliminally figure out what it was he wanted you to do. And he's followed your career closely. And
yes. And the teacher I had was absolutely fantastic teacher. And I studied with him until I went away to college and kept in touch with him until he passed away about 2 years ago at 98. He was a great teacher, J. Carl Borelli.
Well, that's a good name right there.
Yeah.
And what about you other guys? Ray, how did you get started anyway?
Well, it's a long story, I guess.
Well, we got to 24 minutes.
Oh, okay.
If we don't want to hear any other music, we could just start the music and it'll be background for your life story.
I grew up in a farm family. So none of my relatives nor my parents or grandparents or great-grandparents were musicians. So my brother and I were the first to actually, take music making serious with our horns. But playing the trumpet was actually a suggestion from my grandfather and my mother, who's during wartime their favorite musician was Harry James. So they really wanted to they wanted the trumpet in my hands.
And did they stick it in your hands, or did you have the chance to do what Howie did and sort of
choose it?
Just
like sort of what Howie did in school. They had an introduction of instruments. So, they had little displays where you check it out. But I know what my mom and grandpa really had in mind. They wanted me to pick up that trumpet. So it was the time where they went to a music store, and it was one of those rent-to-own kind of deals. And so I started playing cornet, and so that was it. And as I started practicing and all those little tunes, I started getting a lot more interested in it, and it just kind of spiraled from there. From I think the fifth grade.
And you have a really strong, obviously a strong classical trumpet background, mm-hmm. because that's what you've taught at the University of Illinois, or teaching at Austin. Mm-hmm. When did jazz creep in?
It started creeping in really, really strongly when I moved to Denton, Texas in 1972. And
that was for college?
That was for college. At North Texas, and it just bowled me away the way all these they had a great jazz, still do have great jazz scene, a lot of really wonderful players, and just fascinated with what they could do, and I just went crazy. I just put a classical sort of off to the side a little bit and just went and just picked everybody's brain. And because back then they didn't have a jazz program, but they did have jazz bands, a lot of them, and that's who I really learned a lot from, were guys, students, fellow students at North Texas, and in getting gigs in Dallas-Fort Worth area, and learning from some of those wonderful, wonderful mentors and guys in Dallas that I had the honor of playing with, especially Don Jacoby and George Cherub and Don Thomas. Were just wonderful. They were all about style and they taught me so much.
And you've combined the two ever since, classical and jazz.
Yeah. And then I really got into new music when I got the job here at Illinois in 1975, and met Morgan, and just tried to play all the new music I possibly could, because that bowled me over. It's just the just improvising and playing music that was way off the out of the box, so to say.
Off the deep end.
And just the pleasure of getting deeped out was wonderful. So all these combinations of a really classical background and going to school and trying to learn to play and then the gigs in Dallas and then coming to Illinois and getting into new music, I couldn't ask for a better education.
Well, it's a great mix of things that you've been involved in.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Howie, you were going to jump in with something.
Oh, no, he mentioned Don Jacoby, and I just thought about the fact that when I was played in the all-state band, Don Jacoby was a guest soloist.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So there's a connection you didn't know about, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, a heck of a player. Wow.
Yeah, wonderful.
All-state, the whole all-state thing, I remember was such a great thing as a kid. You could play in with people who, well, like you just said, with people who turn up later in life, and you say, oh, I played under that conductor, or I played with this soloist or whatever. Mm-hmm. And at the course, when you were a kid, what did you know? You didn't know that they were anybody important. And then turns out you learned a lot from them. Morgan, you get to tell your life story here. Do you have anything parallel to their stories in your selection of the trombone?
No.
Well, we'll just move along then and play some music.
My cousin, I grew up in Texas, in Vernon, Texas, which, by the way, is where Jack Teagarden grew up. There's Teagardens there yet. We went to the same grade school, not at the same time. But my cousin, who was older than I, played the trombone in the Vernon High School band, and I was just a little tot, but I thought he was my hero. And when he played the trombone, I just stand there and listen and look at him with unbelievable ears and eyes. And he would play, and he would say to me, "Morgan, can't you just see the music coming out of the bell?" And I would look and look. I don't know what I was looking for, but I just remember that, and it's with me till today. And then later on, at the usual time, I think between the fourth and fifth grade, we'd moved to Archer City, Texas, which is a very small town in north central Texas. I got the trombone and started taking lessons, played through high school. This is a town of 1,400 people. The band was about 30 people. Then I went to North Texas and played in the North Texas lab band, as did Ray. And I was sort of a cowboy growing up, and I made the first band as a freshman, and I had my cowboy outfit on. I remember. And these guys were older guys.
Complete with chaps and spurs?
Well, not that far. I'm embarrassed to tell you that as a youngster I had that stuff, though, including a couple of horses.
Well, you're in Texas, so you're kind of more allowed than you would be up here to have that sort of
thing.
That's
right. I was, sad to say, I also was taught how to use guns at about 5 years old. But... These guys in the first band were older people who had come back from the Korean War, and they were from New York, and they were professional players. And after the first rehearsal, a couple of them came up to me and says, "Boy, if you're going to play in this band, you got to get rid of that cowboy outfit." Which I did immediately. I think I took it off right there, you know.
And,
just,
and whatever was left was preferable to whatever you had on it before, right?
Perhaps not to everybody. And I, like Ray, played in Dallas and Fort Worth with the same people. I was 10 years younger, 10 years before Ray at North Texas. But we played the same people, played jingles and all the shows and all that sort of thing. So that's sort of how I grew up with the trombone.
And what about getting into music composition? I mean, you were at the university here in the quote-unquote classical theory and composition department.
I was. Well, I had started writing music, jazz music, when I was in high school and taking music, transcribing music. And so I thought I wanted to be a composer from high school, although I didn't quite know what the realm of that meant. But when North Texas, when I was there, had a dean who had all the freshmen come in individually to his office and talk with him. And I remember sitting in front of that big desk, and he says, "Well, what do you want to major in?" And I said, "Composition." And he says, no, you don't want to major in composition." And I was just a hick kid from a small town, and I said, "Well, I thought I did. What do I want to major in?" And he says, "Well, you know, nobody majors in composition. There's nothing to do after you get a degree." I didn't say it, but I thought, well, you can compose. But,
although you have to admit he had a point.
He did have a point. And he says, "Well, music education." And I said, "Oh, okay." And so I did that. And from the first music education class I had, I knew this was not for me. And I went to summer school, got my degree in music ed in 3 years, and then got a master's degree in composition, and studied with Samuel Adler, a very well-known composer who had studied with Hindemith and now teaches at Eastman and Juilliard, and we're still in contact. So that's sort of the history of that.
And you've managed to combine the interests of classical composition with jazz, and we were going to do this a little later, but since we're talking about it, I thought I'd give a little sample of one of your pieces that involves Howie and who else is in this performance here?
Just Howie and Ray.
Howie and Ray, just the two.
Mm-hmm. I think they call that a duet.
Usually.
And it was commissioned by Vern and Vanessa Siebert, who Vern was a student of Ray's, fine trumpet player, for the International Saxophone Conference in Minneapolis back in a few years ago. And Ray and Howie just play this absolutely beautifully. And it has, as most of my music does, has jazz elements in it, but it is a composed piece of music.
And its name is?
Destiny and Desire.
Destiny and Desire, with Ray Sasaki on the trumpet and Howie Smith on the saxophone, a composition by Morgan Powell. And we'll give it a bit of a listen here. It occurred to me, you know, it could either be a duet or, depending upon their attitude towards each other, a duel. Let's leave that alone. Sorry. Music by Morgan Powell here on Live and Local. Ha ha ha. Since there was a bit of a pause, that seems like a good stopping moment. It was music by Morgan Powell. We just heard a small portion of the piece. And tell me again the name of that, Morgan?
Destiny and Desire.
Destiny and Desire with Howie Smith, saxophone, and Ray Sasaki, trumpet. All three of these guys are going to be performing on Saturday at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana as part of their second annual jazz festival. It started last night and continues tonight and tomorrow. And they're playing tomorrow night from 6 to 9 along with bassist Kelly Sill, drummer Joel Spencer, and pianist Chip Stevens. They get together every once in a while and essentially jam. I mean, that's a fair description, right? I mean, you don't practice, so therefore it's a jam, right? I mean, you know the tune, so you decide we're going to do this tune. And unlike the piece that we heard a little bit earlier where you're creating the composition from scratch and you don't know how it's going to start and you don't know how it's going to end, in this case, you probably know how it's going to start and you know how it's going to end. You just don't know what's going on in the middle. Is that about right?
That's it.
Do I have the concept of jazz down?
You do. That's in a nutshell. We actually call the tunes on the set. We don't have a list. We just try to figure out what would go next, and that's what we do, and the way we do it, as you described it.
How much do you have music in front of you, and how much is just all in your head?
No music in front of us.
No music. Ever.
Ever.
That's something to go out and see and hear, ladies and gentlemen. The virtuosity of these guys, plus the ability to hold everything inside your heads, which always amazes me about jazz players anyway. Is the whole improvisation element is something I just never got into. I don't think I have the aptitude for it, and so I'm just amazed at folks who can do it. We've got a little something here from Howie Smith that you brought along. Why don't you give an introduction of that for us?
This is a quartet that I had. We did a CD a few years back, and this is the title cut off that. It's with Steve Urquiaga on guitar, Bob Bowman on bass, and Ed Soph on drums, called Second Door on the Left.
On Live and Local. Thank you. Howie Smith composition called Second Door on the Left with Howie Smith featured on the saxophone. He's with us here live on Live and Local, although it was from a recording of that name. And I wanted to, before we hear another performance by Jazz Sextet, I want to mention some of the things that are going on in our listening area through the weekend, including Mitchell's Bluegrass and Gospel at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood. That's tonight at 5:30. It's A Day in Hollywood, A Night in the Ukraine, put on by ACT Theater Company of Gibson City at St. John's Lutheran Church in Anchor, 7 o'clock tonight and tomorrow. It's Stones in His Pockets playing an Irish tragicomedy at Sleepy Creek Vineyards in Fairmount. Fairmount, that's tonight at 8 o'clock. Candy Foster and Shades of Blue are giving a benefit for the Daily Bread Soup Kitchen tonight at 6 o'clock at Alto Vineyards in Champaign. Gavin Stolte Project is at Memphis on Main in Champaign. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. The Frank Trumpeter Jazz Quintet is at Marley's Pub in Springfield tonight at 6. And running down some of the things at the Iron Post Jazz Festival. The West Coast Blues Ensemble is there tonight at 5, followed by the Chip McNeil Quintet at 8 and the Jay Sawyer Combo at 11 o'clock. And then tomorrow, of course, Jazz Sextet will be there from 6 to 9. This schedule slightly confusing. Paul Asaro, Jordan Kay, and Josh Halchin will be at 3 o'clock, I think. And then Mike Finoglio at 10 o'clock. And in Decatur, it's the Juve Jazz Society concert at the Decatur Club tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. The 42nd Annual Coles County Barbershop Chorus and Quartet Show is at the Dvorak Concert Hall in at the Eastern Illinois University campus in Charleston. That's tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. The Greater Decatur Youth Band and Young Park Singers are at North Christian Church in Decatur tomorrow at 5. Jeff Helgeson Quartet is at Alta Vineyards in Champaign tomorrow night at 7:30. And what can we mention on Sunday? Hot Club of Cowtown at the Independent Media Center, put on by the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. By the way, they're going to be playing the GLT Summer Concert tomorrow in downtown Bloomington. A couple of other bands, I'm sorry I forgot to write down here. And we'll have to leave it at that. It's about what we have time for. You're listening to Illinois Public Media on, to Live and Local on Corkscrew. Excuse me, you're listening to Live and Local on Illinois Public Media. That's what I'm trying to say. WYLL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. Support comes in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the series collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features our local wine personalities pouring their favorite wines. Details at thecorkscrew.com. And I want to say thanks to Ray Sasaki, Morgan Powell, and Howie Smith for coming on Live and Local today. Go out and hear them at the Iron Post tomorrow night. And we're going to go out with the complete Jazz Sextet, the Champaign Connection, playing in an earlier Iron Post gig. This is called the Jitterbug Waltz.